Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Albuquerque.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver.
Hello, this is Steve from Gilbert, Arizona.
And we've been in Matthew chapter 13, the first step in the Gospels, the step learning about Jesus. He is the king of the kingdom of the heavens. And notice where it is, it's up. And our trajectory in life, our path should lead up. The picture was drawn with Jacob. And I forget exactly what chapter that was in Genesis. But anyway, Jacob's ladder, where he slept, and he fell asleep and saw a ladder that led up to where Yahweh, God was, the Lord was, in heaven. And his head was on a stone. He put his head on a stone, which I'm sure is Jesus. And he looked up to heaven, and he saw angels ascending and descending on this ladder. And has it talked about angels at the beginning of Matthew, maybe dealing with the birth and so on of Jesus and John the Baptizer, but does it show his relationship to men yet? That'll be talked about later. But angels have been given to us from the time we come into God's kingdom. People call it being saved. Or enter God's house, or the time where we become one of God's children. They're there ahead of time and to help us all along the way. And when we sleep, in other words, some people call it die, but with one of God's kids, it's called sleep. There's a difference, but we'll get into all this later on. But the angels of God are there. And some of the gospel is actually delivered by angels too. It's hot off God's mouth. But there's more than angels. There's cherubim, seraphim, the fiery ones. And we are the only creation that is made in God's image. We are in Matthew chapter 13. We've been talking about the parables, the likenesses that Jesus used, physical things like different fields that a seed is sown in, and how they grow or they don't grow, or they're snatched away, and how good a crop we have, and what the yield of the fruit is, depending on what field that we have. And our field would be our heart, and how God would grow in our heart, and how it yield much fruit. And he talked his way to the crowds, and we're going through because these are the first steps of understanding the Lord. It's really the best place to start with a group of people that are disciples that want to learn about God. So we're starting at the beginning. And the first step where Matthew takes us is to know that Jesus is the King. He's a rule giver. He's a life giver. He's a rule giver. And also, he will judge. He's the judge. All judgment has been given. But we'll get into these details later on. But Jesus is the one that we have to realize that he is the lawgiver. And also, his kingdom is from above. So instead of us always comparing things, even though the parables will compare physical things, but our life is going to be based now on heavenly, new laws that set us free, that'll cause us to fly. What we used to do before sin held us to this earth, we could no longer go home. And our home is actually in heaven, in third heaven. We're going to live on the earth, but we could fly. and be free of the gravity of this earth at one time. There's about seven scriptures that actually prove that point, but we'll get into all this later on. But this is the very beginning and understanding the kingdom of the heavens. And we are in Matthew chapter 13. And was there anything we wanted to review? We've been going through what verses? Actually, from 1, and we've read from chapter 13 to 23, 1 to 23, right? Is there anything, last thing we wanted to talk about those that we talked about in the last podcast? Or are we going to go on to the wheat and the tares? And that's in verses 24 through 30 of Matthew 13.
Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of the heavens may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'"
This is actually the second parable, but Jesus did speak in other parables, but this is, or he would not speak plainly. Let's just say it that way before. He would not speak plainly. The first parable was the four different types of ground that the seed is sown in. But this one now presents another problem where, and I think it isolates that one. It could be like that one where it's sowed with weeds. Was it tares? The ground that was that third type of ground, what was the Greek word for that? Thorns, sown among thorns. This is tares. So it could be similar to that third style of ground, but now he's going to go into the condition of a particular field, and this could actually be every the first one could actually be the individual person, where this one, and I think it is, it's that first one was sown on the wayside, sown amongst rocky ground, sown among thorns, and then sown on good ground. And I think that's more individually talking. This is talking about a group of believers called fellowship, a family. Maybe it's 12 people, maybe it's 10 people, maybe it's 13 people. Ideal is really 12 to have in a group. And so this would be to a group of people.
Yeah, it was to the individual occurrences.
Right.
1, 2, 3, or 4. And then this is a whole group, what can happen around it. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
Doesn't it look that way?
Yep, it does.
We've gone through this many times, but some of these things we have to refresh our mind. And we might have even taught this, but if it's taught 50 years ago, you kind of forget some of the little details. I'm getting a little older.
And you always have to keep your mind open that the Holy Spirit may reveal something new to all of us right now.
Right.
We have to keep paying attention to that.
Right.
Or that we need to change our mind about what we thought we knew.
Yeah.
There's all these elements of it.
We're on the path, but some details may need to be polished up, corrected, or whatever. Because every year you look at this, you'll actually be combining more scriptures with it. So let's look at this.
Because you know it says brighter and brighter to the perfect day.
Yeah.
So
the path of the just.
Path of the just.
Is like
brighter.
The shining light that shines more and more till that perfect day.
Right.
Amen. 24 through 30, we're looking at a group of people, and there's a bad egg in there. And so what do you do? Well, of course, it's a tear. And what do you see in all this, Steve?
Their disciples thought the idea would be best to gather the tear up, so maybe it didn't have any effect on the wheat, but Jesus says to let them both grow up together. So that shows that this is a group setting because they're both together in the same field.
And what would happen if
they good seed in his field, he is having the expectation of the whole field being good. And so that would say you could have an expectation that everything is always going to be good, but he's bringing out, no, everything's not always going to be good, because while these people slept, there's an enemy that came and he sowed tares, and where he sowed them was in the good field. He didn't have a bad field and a good field. He had all these good field people, and he sowed these tares in the middle of that.
This is a family like a Lydia that is, she told Paul, if you find me worthy, come into my house. So this is, and her friends came, her friends got saved. It's a story in the Bible. But we're going to embellish it on it a little bit. So let's take her house, what could happen in it. So in her house, we'll gather people that are truly God's kids, and then there likely will be a tear in there.
Well, notice now it says, when the grain sprouted. Now, I don't know if you ever planted anything before, but if you think you're going to plant it, and then tomorrow you're going to go out there and see it, it's not so. So there is a dwell time and a time function involved here in between this. And so then, while the men slept, the enemy sowed this. And then when the grain sprouted, the tares appeared. And then the servants went to the owner and said, hey, did you not sow good field seed in this field? Why does it have tares? And he said, well, an enemy's done this. And you go, do you want us to go fix the field? If it was people,
right,
it would be, do you want us to go fix that?
Right.
What would that mean? Tell them to leave.
If you operate too fast, because people's lives are intertangled with one another, and especially if they're young people, they will affect other young people until everybody within that group grows and learns Jesus' image, and they can see the difference. And if they start seeing the difference, they'll start noticing, hey, my buddy Bud over here, he's just not getting it. And he wants me to go drinking with him, or he wants me to go smoke dope or whatever. And you go, nah, I'm not going to do that. But before that person, if you yank Mr. Budweiser out, we'll call him Bud. Anyway, if you pull him out, you're likely to pull out his friend. But if you let it go to the right time, the Lord will have prepared those people, and he will see it and he'll look, oh yeah, he never really did get it, did he? And it'll be done painlessly. And these are things that we've actually seen over the years, seen them happen.
Well, notice what the servants want to do.
What do they want to do, Andy?
They want to fix it.
Yep. The servants.
This is God's field. Don't get confused here. It's God's field.
So he's preparing them. If you're going to be a servant, you got to remember this story when you go over.
You don't need to go fix it, is what he told them. Because if you do, you're going to uproot people that you shouldn't, because they're, like you said, connected. And so you're not going to know how to do it. In fact, it's not your job to do it. And he goes on to say, let it both grow together until the harvest. Oh, you mean we have to wait to the harvest? When's that going to come? When the harvest comes. When is it going to be? When it comes.
Well, let's say that tear looked like a tear, but it was a wheat that was immature.
Didn't know.
He hadn't gotten there yet. You grew faster because you were all excited and your life was getting straightened out, but he was just a little bit sluggish on reading his Bible or praying and so on, but he was still one of God's kids. You could be taking out one of God's kids. So Only God knows the heart of man. Only God can see into a man's heart. We cannot. It's impossible.
So these people that wanted to do this were getting ahead of themselves and doing. And so this is here to show what happens and to show what we are to be involved in and not be involved in, and to be and to let God do what he says he's going to do.
Well, Gilbert's going to tell on himself right now. Okay, so let me clear it with Gilbert first. Is it all right to embarrass yourself? Okay. Anyway, I knew a man, 20 years, 25 years. And we get together and I'm going like, man, that guy's driving me crazy. I don't see any fruit in him. And I didn't. Honestly, I did not see any fruit. But I had this problem. I couldn't see his heart. And the next year I'd see him, I'm going, I can't stand to be around him. He just got all these awful tales he tells. He's kind of mean. I don't like the way he treats people. And I was right in what I saw. But I judged that I don't see any fruit. Maybe he needs to do some things over. And you know what? About just several years ago, I watched this go on for 20 years. And all of a sudden, the gentleman got a brain tumor. And he didn't start over from stage one or stage two. At that moment, he changed so much. I'd never seen that before. And this started really making sense that I could have uprooted him.
And other people.
Yeah, and other people. He turned out to really inspire me, and it seemed like he just leaped ahead of me in the Lord. You know, I wasn't so good after all. Seriously, he used to get me on the phone, he'd bring me to tears. Just the way he would talk, I'm going, it was just an inspiration to talk to the guy. And he gave the rest of his life to going, here he is dying of a brain cancer, to go and visit his friends in other states. He'd fly there and minister to them, give his life to them. I am glad I left that alone and didn't make any, it was all done in my mind, and I'm glad it didn't come out of my mouth or my actions. And I repented. I've told other people what an unlearned I was. The Greek word is idiot. What an unlearned I was at that time. I had to learn that. And it's good to get a little bit older, I found with myself. I'm sure other people find that out too.
You're right. We just can't see into people's hearts. We have a serious, serious frailty there. But Jesus says, hey, don't get involved in that. What? Don't do it because you can uproot people. And that's all he said. Don't do this. There's going to be a time that God will take care of it. Don't worry about it right now. You just go on and walk.
One time he almost got his friend killed. They were doing something and it was on his idea. And that's why I had certain thoughts about him. Almost got his friend killed. And yet he didn't. His friend didn't die. And they were both older gentlemen. And I had plenty of good reasons to do that, but none of them were good reasons with God. We just don't know the end of the matter.
And you didn't go ripping any tears. You just thought about it.
I just thought about it. I'm glad I just thought about it.
You just thought about it, see?
But even thoughting about it, how'd you like my English? Even doing that, I asked for repentance from God. I asked for forgiveness.
So that was a sober moment of reality here, of us talking about what you're talking about, what you had to do to learn that.
Well, it's a lesson learned. Why not share it with
is.
Other people?
It's really the way to do it, isn't it? Yeah. It's for real.
So allow both to grow together until the harvest, and that's, of course, when... The Pentecost was the early rain, and we're waiting for the latter rain. So until that time, we have to be patient. And is fruit mentioned in here for the first time? about bringing forth fruit. There is fruit in the other one with the seeds. Yeah, brought forth fruit. Was there one here? Does that word?
Wheat.
Oh, it's called wheat. Okay.
Last thing.
It'd be compared to the same thing. It's that type of fruit. It's saying the same thing. It's just another parable. Okay, do you want to do the next one? 31 through 32, the mustard seed.
And the grain sprouted, it says too.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. So the birds of the air come and nest in its branches."
So this is the second or third time the kingdom of heaven is mentioned here. The kingdom of heaven,
the kingdom of
is
heavens.
Like.
Yeah.
So again, here's that we can see what Panem's was talking about. We're talking about the kingdom of heavens, and Jesus is the king, and he's telling us how to work in his kingdom. What his kingdom is going to be like, and how we, getting ready to become servants of this kingdom. We don't go in there right away because we could uproot somebody. We could, not understand the different fields. But this is all, for all of us to go on to the next step in Mark and become servants of this kingdom. And what'd you see in this, Steve, about the mustard seed?
That it's the smallest of all seeds. And when it is full grown, it's larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. So it starts off really small, and the outcome, when it's full grown, it brings forth life for other small things that are living around that.
Is God interested in the birds?
Well, he feeds the birds.
Well, they're of less value. He says they're less value, but not one sparrow falls from the air, and God doesn't know it altogether, isn't? You talk about animal rights. God invented animal rights. And you know, Elijah was fed by a crow or a raven. And they remember who you are, and they'll tell others. They're very community-minded bird. And they're really interesting. They did a study on crows, and they raised their young for 2 years, and they make this awful sound, that real scratchy old sound. But when they're in the nest talking to their babies, they go, beep, beep, beep. They get a little soft. It's all right, little baby crow. They talk to them totally different than they do to us, but one fed Elijah. So before you throw a rock at one, you might he might be the one that's going to deliver food for you. And if somebody is mean to them, they'll teach all the other ones. They'll all know who you are. And it's also ironic that in the two places where we fellowship with people, Chatham, Ontario, Canada, and in the Seattle area, this group did a study on crows. And in Chatham, Ontario, they were getting tired of them ruining the fields when a certain crop would come up, and they'd upset it. So this guy had a type of hawk. Anyway, he'd take this hawk, and he taught his hawk not to kill the crow, but to beat the living daylights out of him. So that crow would go around and tell the other crow, stay out of that field. You're going to get, you'll get beat up.
He's a guard dog.
Yeah. And the other gal in Seattle did a special on, and they were both shown together. They were back to back. And it's funny how they chose those two cities to show that. And also, it's interesting where birds pop up with God in the scriptures. Is that it for that one? Also, this is another interesting thing about seeds. we were talking about redwood trees on the coast, the Sequoia sempervirens. And they're the tallest tree in the world, 350 feet tall, and they've got the littlest cone. My last joint on my little baby, my pinky finger is about the size, maybe it's just a tad bit bigger, or maybe it's a little smaller than that. And yet I expected to find a big old cone when I used to do timber cruising when I first came to the Northwest. And here's this little teeny cone, and it's not in the position the other cones are in the other conifer trees, too. So God, he just constantly keeps us guessing with his creation. It's fun. 11, Matthew 13, verse 33. 11.
He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of the heavens is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened.
Remember a woman. Remember this woman was loud and boisterous that talked about prior? And this a woman is actually not talking about a woman. It's talking about religion called Mystery Babylon. And Mystery Babylon has leavening in it, which is they add their own ideas. The word Babylon is confusion of languages. So if we start listening to man's ideas, you know, the way the world goes, there's all these different thoughts and so on go through the world. And yeast is everywhere. The yeast, the San Francisco bread, is good because of that yeast that is actually in the atmosphere in San Francisco. It's everywhere. And you can all hear all these different doctrines floating through the air that are in these different religions. And then you've got the pure unleavened, which does not have this yeast in it. And the pure unleavened would be the Word of God. It would be within God's kingdom, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the words that come out of their mouth, all the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. So the pure Word of God, hot off of God's lips, will clear up between what is leavened and what is unleavened.
So this parable is telling things from a kind of another point of view. It's telling that things that are going to affect the kingdom of heaven. Before it was talking about people in there and how to deal with them, and here it's talking about the kingdom of heaven is going to have this sort of attack on it.
Right,
and that's a different way than it went before. One was the inside workings. This is an outside attack.
So everything we're going to do is going to have to be purified by reading the Word and going back and checking what God thinks about it. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."